We continue this morning our study in the book of 1 Peter. Study entitled Chosen. And we're chosen to do what? We're chosen to win the world to Jesus Christ. So the last 3 weeks we have been focusing on how do we win the world for Jesus Christ. And we continue that study today from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, standing in honor and reverence to our great God. Verse 1 says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive." I'm just taking a pause. If any men want to throw an amen in there at this time, you can. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them according to understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do bow to you today, praying for your guidance, asking, Lord, that you speak to us. Open our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to say. And not just to hear, but Lord, to hear and apply. May we not look at others, those around us, those near us, but Lord, may we honestly and humbly take a look at ourselves. And I pray you apply your word to each individual life as is needed. Father, glorify your great name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. How do we reach the world? Well, we started a couple weeks ago by talking about reaching the world by the way we deal with the government, what kind of citizens we are. Then we went on last week to talk about reaching the world through reaching the people that we work with, what kind of employees we are. Now today, if we're really going to reach the world, it has to start in the home. Okay? As a matter of fact, I'm thoroughly convinced that that's one of the greatest pitfalls of our society today, and what is literally tearing our country apart is the failure of the home. And the home starts, please get this, the home starts with the relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, I want you to understand this setting. Peter is writing this from the point of view of one being married and that the spouse being a non-believer. A believer married to a non-believer. That's why what he said in chapter 3, verse 1, he said that even if some do not obey the word, literally, if some are disobedient, they're disobedient to the Word of God. Now, you can apply this two ways, but specifically, it was written to that someone who had a spouse that was not a believer. And so, We want to apply it that way, but we also want to understand that there is nothing in here that makes this situation, as far as the husband and the wife, any different than if both were believers. It's taught in other places the same thing, so we have to approach it from that point of view also. But the question would have been in that day, if I'm a believer and I'm married to a non-believer, that how do I respond to that? How do I deal with that non-believing spouse? Now, in the world today, most would ask the question, well, maybe I just need to divorce them since we don't have anything in common. And maybe I just need to divorce them and find a believer to be married to. Absolutely, positively not. God always disapproves of divorce. Okay? Now, I understand it happens, but never think that God has put His stamp of approval on divorce. The answer is, if you were married to a non-believer, that your conduct should be such as that you will, through your conduct, win that unbeliever to Jesus Christ. Okay? That unbelieving spouse. Now, what does that look like? Glad you asked. It starts with the ladies, right? That's where we're going to start today. That's where Peter started. It starts specifically with the wives. Now, understand this. Let's get this clear from the very beginning, right? This is not given as an option for a believer to marry an unbeliever. I'm going to say that again. So especially want our young people to hear that. This is not given as to give you an option as a believer to marry an unbeliever. Specifically, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, and please listen, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? The idea there is, don't get involved in that relationship. Right? Ladies, let me share with you. You should have a list of husband materials. Being, I won't date him, I won't marry him, I will not have a relationship with him if he is not. And then you start filling in the blank. The number one thing is, he needs to be a believer. That way you start out on common ground, spiritually speaking, right? So don't view this as a point of view. As a matter of fact, what happened here, there were wives who were being saved and husbands who were still non-believers. And so Peter's telling them how to deal with their non-believing husbands. So how do they deal? Wives, be submissive. Yield to the leading and the direction of that husband. That's a hard one, ladies, isn't it? Oh, come on. That's a hard one, ladies, isn't it? It's hard sometimes. It's difficult. So you have to have a reason. I have to have a reason to do the hard stuff. If I choose to do something, I've got to have a pretty good reason, or I'm not going to do it. So here's the reason that you would be submissive to that man. So that without a word, again in verse 3, so that they without a word may be won by the conduct of the wife. Now, that without a word, it's talking about the wife. That you don't have to tell them anything to win them. But rather, your conduct toward them wins them. Now, this can apply to a non-believer. It can even apply to a marriage in which the wife is more spiritually mature than the husband, which happens a lot. How are you going to get that husband on board? Through submission. Through your submission. Listen, Don't preach at him. I'm going to say this again. Do not preach at him. You need to get up and go to church with me this morning. He's an unbeliever. He don't want to go to church. You need to have Bible study with me. He's an unbeliever. He don't want to have Bible study. We need to have family prayer. He's an unbeliever. He don't want to pray. Right? And you can keep preaching at him and tell him what he needs to do, and it will not move him one bit. As a matter of fact, it'll probably make him more stubborn. How are you going to move him? You're going to move him with your submission and your loving attitude so that when he observes, and get this, verse 2, when they observe or when that spouse observes your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, that you're going to win them. They're watching, ladies. Your husbands are watching. And what they need to see is a chaste lady. Now that word chaste, it means to be pure or faultless. The reason they need to see that is because there's enough hypocrites in the world to turn them away from God. But you are the lady that can turn them to God by your conduct. Right? They need to see a sincere lady who lives out her faith and lives according to what she says she believes. You know, that's not really any different than anybody else, is it? Isn't that what the world needs to see from all of us? Oh, I can stand up here and jump up and down week after week, but that's not going to win the lost. They need to see what a Christian, sincere example of a Christ-loving person is. And that's what your spouse needs to see, ladies and gentlemen. We get to you. And I'll point this out to you, so guys, so that if you get to thinking, yeah, boy, we're telling the ladies today, look at verse 7. The first line in verse 7 says, husband, what is that second word? Likewise. You know what that likewise means? Go back to what I've already said. Go back to the front. So what he's saying is, I'm not telling the ladies anything that doesn't apply to the men. You mean the men are supposed to submit to ladies? Absolutely, we do it all the time. Don't we? I mean, we really do. We should. We submit to their needs. Submit to their desires. We submit to give them more than we have ourselves. I hope we do. But I'm going to get into that a little later. So we'll stop right there. So as I'm preaching this, guys, don't think it doesn't apply to us, right? Number one, ladies, be submissive. Number two, ladies, be beautiful. Ladies, be beautiful. Now, I'm not going to give you a class in beauty. I'm certainly not qualified to do that. But here's what Peter says in reference to beauty. He says, verse 3, do not let your adornment be outward or merely be outward. It does not mean that you should not look nice, ladies. That you can just put on an old pair of sweats and mess up your hair and say, whoo, I'm good. I don't have to worry about it. No. Absolutely not. There are beautiful women. And sometimes I'm amazed at all the effort that ladies put into their appearance. And that's fine. That's wonderful. But I want to offer you this. I've seen some pretty ugly ladies. Now I want you to think about that statement. I've seen pretty and ugly ladies. they were pretty on the outside, but the inside was very, very ugly. So much so, I didn't want to stick around very long to look at them, whether they were pretty or not on the outside. That's what Peter is saying here. It doesn't mean that, ladies, you shouldn't look nice or you can't wear jewelry or you can't get your hair done or don't wear makeup. That's not the point. The point is, all that's fine, but you be sure that you focus more on the inside. Okay? Focus on the inside, specifically having a gentle, quiet spirit. Oh, I love that. It doesn't mean what you think it means. You know, that word gentle, it means kind and considerate. Pretty easy for ladies, because I'll be honest with you, most ladies are way more kind and considerate than men are. It's just in their DNA. But ladies, that should be what you strive to be, is that kind, considerate, encouraging lady. The quiet part there. It does not mean that you sit in the corner and be quiet and never say anything. No, that word quiet means peaceful. So picture this. A kind, considerate lady that is filled with peace and tranquility. There's inward calm about this lady. That she just seems that her faith just overflows from her. This is the picture it's painting for you, ladies. That you be sure you're working on that peace so that when your husband's around you... I'll be honest, I don't understand couples who fight all the time. I can't do it. I hate fighting with anyone. Matter of fact, I won't. I'll turn the other direction and go the other way before I fight with you. Now, we can discuss disagreements or whatever, and all that's fine. But you know, once the yelling starts, I'm through. God did not make me and give me this time on earth to yell and exchange insults with people. More specifically, my wife. I don't ever want to raise my voice to my wife, because I care for her too much. Now, ladies, let me throw it back on you. Don't ever raise your voice to your husband. Say that again. Don't ever raise your voice to your husband. Well, you don't understand. No, I understand. I know how we are. I know sometimes we need to be chewed up. I get that. But you don't accomplish anything with that voice-raising, fighting, degrading, and insulting one another. There's no benefit in that. As a matter of fact, ladies, and get this, because it applies both ways, but Proverbs 21:9, have you ever read that? You know what it says? It says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in the house shared with a contentious woman. Ladies, you have the ability to set the tone of a man's life. It can be a life of peace, tranquility, kindness, so that when he comes home, he's looking forward to being at home with you. Or it can be a life of constant conflicts so that he does not want to come home. And let me just share with you, life does not have to be that way. And you know, I often wonder why people live like that. You know, why would husbands and wives continually insult one another? Because it's not enjoyable. You say, well, Brother Doug, you don't understand. He's wrong. I know he's wrong most of the time. He can't help it. But you bring that peaceful, loving kindness to the relationship that makes Him want to be with you. Okay? That's the requirement of being a lady, a wife. And he goes on and he says, consider Sarah. Our example, Sarah. There in verse 5, it says, in former times, women of old trusted God and adorned themselves in this manner. Ladies, here's the first thing you have to do to have this kind of life that Peter's giving. You first have to trust God. Okay? God has given you direction to say, okay, here's how to be a wife. Be submissive, be chaste, win them with your conduct, don't let your adornment be outwardly. All that is God's instructions. Now the question is this, do you trust God? Do you, ladies, do you trust God? Give me something here, ladies. Okay? I want to say, either you trust Him or you do not. If you trust Him, you're going to trust Him by saying, okay, now I believe God knows what He's talking about here. I believe God has given me direction and instruction in marriage because He created marriage and He knows how it should operate. Therefore, I'm going to put into practice what God has instructed. That's trusting God. You can trust God or you cannot trust God and think, my way's better. And you're thinking, my way's better if you're not doing what God has said here. Well, I just don't think a lady should be submissive. Do you know more than God? It's all over God's Word. It is. God created marriage. He should know how it could be successful. Amen? And for you or me or anyone else to not apply the principles that God puts in His Word is saying, God, I know more than you do. I'm going to do it my own way. My question to you is, if you're not going to do it God's way, how long are you going to live in an unsuccessful marriage? Because as long as you continue your way, it's not going to work. Now, you understand why I'm saying this. I'm saying this both husband and wife. Right? I'm not singling out the ladies here. If we do not do it God's way, it does not work. Sometimes in counseling with marriage couples, I wanted to say, what are you thinking? Why would you talk to your wife that way? Or to wives, why would you treat your husband that way? What are you thinking? It's not going to work. The only thing that works is God's way. It's like never reading the instruction manual. Do you ever order stuff in Christmas? I used to love Christmas Eve at our house because we'd set up all night not reading the instructions and it would take all night to put the toys together, you know? He's given us the instruction. And He says, hey guys, this works. This is how to do it. Look at Sarah, the example. She not only obeyed Abraham, she called him Lord. Really? Really? You got to be kidding. She really did. She really did. Genesis 18:12. It's there. But you have to understand, she's not saying, Lord, you're my owner. She's acknowledging and respecting Abraham's God-given position as leader of the family. Right? That's what that word Lord means used in this context. I want to tell you something. And ladies, I want to give you this one thing a man probably needs more than anything else is respect. He needs to feel like that you trust him, that you respect him, and that you'll follow him anywhere he goes. That's what he needs to feel. It's a man thing, I know. But God made us this way. You say, again, you say, Brother Doug, what if he's wrong? Let me clear this up. He will be wrong. No question. Abraham himself was wrong numerous times, and Sarah followed him every time. Every time. You notice that? Imagine this. Abraham decided they needed to go to Egypt. And before they got to Egypt, he called his wife Sarah and said, Sarah, you are one beautiful lady. Now, when we get to Egypt, they're going to kill me so that they can take you for their wife. So, Sarah, please, wherever we go in Egypt, you just tell them you're my sister. And it'll save me from getting killed. Now, ladies, if you were the wife and the husband said, we're going to another state, you just tell everybody you're my sister, so it'll be well with me, what would you do? I tell you what you do. You'd look at him and say, really? You have lost your ever-loving mind. Sarah didn't do that. And Abraham was as wrong as he could be. You know what Sarah did? She said, okay. She trusted God. And sure enough, when they got to Egypt, they sent for Sarah and, for Pharaoh and called her. But God kept Pharaoh away from her. And he didn't allow anything to happen to her. Yeah, Abraham was dumb, but God has never, ever been dumb. Right? Even when we fail, God will take care of His own. So, don't think, well, okay, husband, you're wrong, but I'm going to follow you. There you go. Go ahead, follow him. But know this, God will take care of it, even when he is wrong. Wives, are y'all ready for me to get to the husbands? Oh, listen, marriage is a beautiful thing. This year's 40 years. Would not change a thing. Yep, there's been bumps in the road, and there's been times I've been really wrong. But I'm telling you, it's worth the effort. It's worth the trouble. You hang in there. Ladies, you keep supporting your husbands. And husbands, you keep winning your wives. Brings us to number two. Woo! Husbands, win your wives. And we're going to start with being oh, I hesitate to say this. Be intelligent. Husbands, likewise, verse 7, dwell with them with understanding. Some translations say live according to knowledge. That word understanding, it means knowledge or intelligence or wisdom. Sometimes guys are not known for their wisdom. What that means when it says dwell with them according to knowledge, number one, you know your wife. Know your wife. Each lady is just a little bit different. And there are some things that your wife likes that other women may not. And your wife has triggers. Some things that can just fly all over her just that quick. If you're newly married, probably the best thing you can do right now is to quickly learn the triggers. Because what you're going to find is, I'm not going to flip that switch. It's not worth it. Know your wife. Know how she feels. Know how she loves. Know what she likes. Know what she does not like. Know her strengths. Know her weaknesses. After 40 years, you just have to look at one another and you know what one another's thinking. Know your wife and live with her according to knowledge. Know how to honor her. Know how to bless her. Right? Some ladies like flowers. Some are not flower ladies. Right? Know what she likes. And guys, let me give you really good words of advice. You better, with reasonable frequency, do something she likes. Your life will be much better. You owe that to her. Treat her according to what you know about her. Second way that applies. Not just knowing her intimately, but what you know about the Scripture. Live with her according to what you know God's Word tells you and how to live with her. For example, you know where I'm going, Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as, here we go, Christ loved the church. And we've got to say that together because y'all didn't get it the first time. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did He love the church? He died for it. He gave His life for the church. He left the glory and the splendor of heaven to come to this earth to live a perfect sinless life, to go to the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt of the individuals in the church. Why? Because He loved His church. Guys, if need be, you should be willing to lay down your life for your wife. Amen? At all costs, you should be willing to do whatever it takes to provide for her. Love her like Christ loved the church. But don't just be willing to die for her. Be willing to live for her. See, this is the daily thing where you come in and you do. You honor her as the wife or as the weaker vessel. Now, ladies may take exception to this. I'm not weak. It's not what it means. That word honor means value. That word weak means delicate. Right? I'll be honest with you. One thing I've learned is most ladies are stronger than the guys. I see them setting up with babies all night when guys are passed out on the couch, you know. Have way more stamina than we do. When it says honor her as the weaker vessel, value her as a delicate treasure is literally the idea. That she is the most valuable treasure you have in your life. In that day, women, and they were second-class citizens, and they received very little respect, and the husbands could treat them any way they wanted to with no accountability. But the idea here is the godly man will not live with his wife that way. Instead, he will treat her as the highly valued treasure of his life. Have you ever had something that was so precious you wouldn't let anybody near it? Like that special expensive vase or expensive china or something like that. And you're saying, oh no, we don't use that. We don't get near that. We don't want to break it. That's kind of the concept here. That guys, we're going to stand between her and the world and say, you got to go through me to get to her. That you've got to kill me before you can touch my wife. That has to be our mentality. And not just that, but treating her in a manner in which she never questions that you always have her best interest and her well-being at heart. Now, guys, I'm going to ask you the question I asked the ladies a while ago. You can have a successful marriage or you can have an unsuccessful marriage. If you think you've got a better way of doing it, you go ahead and live in unsuccess for a long time. You want your marriage to work? Love your wife like Christ loved the church. So much so that He gave Himself for it. And listen, it's just this point that we get to that mentality. Well, I would if he would. Or I would if she would. But I'm not because she's not doing this and he's not doing that. And it starts with you. Husbands. It starts with you, wives. You know, we can always look at one another and say, boy, you got a long way to go. But seldom do we stop and try to remove the beam that is in our own eye. So the challenge of this message is this. You have to look at you. Husbands, do not look at your wives and say, well, when she does, I will. No, you start doing what God has told you to do. Ladies, you do the same. Don't go home this afternoon and say, you cut a deal, I'll do this if you'll do that. No, you just start applying the principles of God's Word in your marriage and let God deal with your spouse. And it'd be amazed at how your life will improve. You see, we have to understand this last line. It's not us against them. It's not husbands against wives, wives against husbands. It's heirs together of the grace of life. You know what Peter is saying there when he says, he's saying, listen, you guys are all equal. So never think, ladies, when I'm preaching that I'm saying that you're just not quite the citizen that the man is. No. It's just different roles. Different God-given roles. You are just as good as any man, lady. And men, you are just as good as any lady. Because I want to tell you, it took the same blood of Jesus to pay for your sin. It does not matter if you are a man or if you are a woman. You were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. God says, treat one another that way. You are equals. Treat one another that way. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus saved her just like He saved him. Husband like He saved the wife. Never think, and guys, I have seen it numerous times. And a matter of fact, most men kind of have the attitude, just won't say it, but you know, kind of have the attitude of, well, I'm the king of my castle. Your castle can fall really quickly if you don't lose that attitude. And here's the real important part. Last line of verse 7. That your prayers may not be hindered. You ever wonder why your prayer life don't work? How's your marriage? Husbands, you wonder why I just pray and seems like nobody's listening. How's your marriage? How you treat your wife? Wives, same thing. How do you treat your husband? Don't pretend like you've got a good prayer life if you don't have a good married life. Because you're faking it. That word hindered means just what it says. It means that they're impeded. They can't get through. You can't pray. Why can't you pray? Because the most important relationship in this world that you have apart from Jesus Christ, you're messing up by not tending to that relationship God's way. Right? So, how many want to be happy? Amen. How many want to be happy? We can do a little better. How many want to be happy? Amen. Amen. Do marriage God's way. Do marriage God's way. You're never too good to be wrong. When you're wrong, confess it before God. Admit it to your wife or to your spouse. Say, I'm sorry, and move on. But you don't have to live in misery by doing your marriage wrong. Do it God's way. Last thing, in closing, right? You got to have a foundation for anything. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If it doesn't start with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're building on shifting sand. The storm's going to come, and the sand's going to wash, according to the Bible, and your house is going to fall, and great's going to be the fall. Once you build upon Jesus Christ, there is no storm anywhere that can take you down. So that's what I want to give you in closing today. Are you a child of God? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? To follow Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about walk down an aisle. I'm not talking about playing the church game. I'm talking about the day that you knew you had sinned and you were a sinner in need of a Savior, and you confess before God that you're a sinner, and you ask Jesus to forgive you and to save you, and you got up a new man. It's called repentance. Have you truly given your life to Jesus Christ? If not, you've got nothing to build on. You don't know how to love. You don't know how to conduct yourself in this life. And you're headed for a fall. So I'm going to give you this invitation that we're going to have in just a moment. And I want to invite you and share with you how to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that? You also have to believe whoever does not call will not be saved. So it's in your court. Will you turn to Jesus today? Heavenly Father, we just place this service, this invitation in your hands. You know the marriages that are struggling, Lord. And bottom line is marriages struggle because we try to do it our way. Father, forgive us. We want to repent today, and we want to build our marriages, Lord, upon the principles found in your word. That we as husbands want to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Wives want to submit, respect, and follow their husbands. And that, Lord, build marriages in this church and in this community that will stand the storm. That even Satan himself cannot knock down. We glory in your goodness and pray, Lord, your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.